All right.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jeff. And generally, I tend to try to get a hold of faculty before about 9 o'clock in the morning, so maybe this is a little bit early. I'm just going to talk a little bit about Florida Innovation Hub and the things that are being put together, and then an example of what happens when it goes right. Got lots of examples of what happened when it doesn't go right, but I've got a great example of what happens when this everything comes together. And so, I mean, what we're trying to do is we this virtuous cycle. So, you know, it starts, at least for us, you know, we starts with us. We got technology gets licensed to large through startup companies, and if they are successful, they're sending royalties back to the university, which gets reinvested back into research by and large. But also they're creating products, services, jobs, taxes, revenues, goes to the government, and it also comes back to the research institution. So this is the type of cycle we're trying to catalyze with some of these innovation centers. This is not really to brag so much as, you know, innovation at the University of Florida has been going on for a long time. But get to this last bullet point here. It takes a long time to build that innovation culture. And so although Gatorade was, you know, is the most famous product coming out of the University of Florida, and people have been aware of it for a long time, it has taken a long, long time and a lot of effort to get the mindset that people can innovate and it's going to be successful and going to start businesses around it. And I want to show you some of the things that put in place and things are really starting to come together. Just showing this slide. So the UF Sid Martin Biotech Incubator is it's about 30 miles north of town. It's a little town called Alachua. And there isn't much at Alachua apart from a Walmart distribution center, at least there wasn't. Where that blue star is, this is where the incubator was located about 1990. All the rest of the buildings around here have been spawned from companies that came out of that incubator. So this research park is going to be built up, and this plot here is being built right now. Again, it's a nice example of you have a nucleus, which is an incubator, and if everything goes right, some of these companies are successful, they need places to build their businesses and to employ people, and this area is really starting to take off. So again, it's an example of where an incubator really is helping the local economy, the general economy, but providing jobs and great new services. So this is the building that I'm talking about, the Florida Innovation Hub. It's been in place now, or at least we've been in there for almost 3 years. And so this was, it was funded from the Economic Development Authority. We got a $5.8 million grant from the Economic Development Authority. This was part of the TARP funding, so try to get stimulus funding into the economy. We're just there at the right time, at the right place. And then the university matched that so that we could build this building. And the offices for the Office of Technology Licensing is in the ground floor on one side here. The rest of this, though, is labs and offices for new companies. And so it's an incubator for those new companies, but along with some of the services that companies need in order to be able to grow. So what do new companies need? Well, depending upon the experience of the people who are starting the company, they're going to probably need business advice. We've got, one of the things which is interesting is that when our scientists, our faculty, people in the community see businesses that have been started and been successful, they say, I can do that too. I'd like to participate in this. And so we're getting a lot of awareness as to, yeah, maybe I can start a company. Maybe I don't have to go work for Big Co. Maybe I can stay in Gainesville and start my own company. Most of those people, though, are very naive, don't have a lot of experience, got a lot of drive, but not a lot of experience. Business advice is key to that. They're going to need, probably if they have any kind of utility patents, they're going to need assistance with that. They're certainly going to need assistance, if they're smart, with operating agreements, equity agreements, leasing agreements, all kinds of agreements. Investment, they're going to need various levels of investment, whether it be very early stage from angel groups, friends and family, or at later stages if they are successful, venture capitalists. They also need hiring personnel, going to need accounting help, particularly if some of these companies are successful in getting SBIR funding. Trying to manage that funding and all the reporting could be quite a nightmare, and so it helps to have someone who's contracted to manage in the accounting of that. Obviously going to need facilities, labs and offices, and sometimes access to specialized equipment. I showed you the Sid Martin biotech incubator. That is specialized biotech incubator because they do have shared equipment like ultracentrifuges. They've got walk-in coolers and greenhouse and freezers. All kinds of equipment that is needed by a biotech company is very expensive to buy and maintain, and that's part of the services. The Innovation Hub doesn't have biotech equipment per se, but some of the things that the people need, if they're doing any kind of biology at all, they're going to need freezer space, and so we have freezers and so on for people. But one of the nice things about the facilities is everything's included. So for a very reasonable rent, which is better than most people can get on the open market, they get all their phone lines, they get internet access. All the utilities are included. They don't have to pay separately for electricity. So one price covers everything, which is nice for a growing company. So one of the things we did is around in the center part of the building, we have offices for what we call our resident partners. And so these are companies that by contract, they have to have someone in those offices and staff those offices for a certain number of days per week. So we've got companies like Wolf Greenfield, which are based up in, I think it's Boston. They do very excellent IP services. They do a lot of license agreements, very good negotiators. They decided they're going to have a satellite office in Gainesville because there is the opportunity to get in on the ground floor of some businesses. The same with some of these other law firms. With these venture groups, Harbert Management Corporation, MPM Capital, they decided to open up satellite offices because Gainesville, if you don't know Gainesville is on the way to nowhere. It's off the beaten track. We have to work hard to bring in talented people and money, and the technology is there, but by having these groups in at the ground floor, it helps them, but it helps our companies too. And one of the things that these resident partners have to provide is, so besides having staffing in the office, they have to provide a certain number of pro bono hours per month to all of the companies which are in the Innovation Hub. And that's great for some of these companies that they want to talk to an attorney and they're scared by the fact that these guys charge $300, $400 an hour. They just want a consultation and find out where they're going to go next. This is a great way for them to get good advice. And of course, for these partners, yes, they're providing some free services at first, but if it develops into something, they're going to have some business, and they're going to be on the ground floor. We have a couple of entrepreneurs in residence, and these guys have been around the block a few times, and although they don't know every single business, they are a sounding board for these new entrepreneurs to talk to them and say, you know, is this idea crazy? What do you suggest I do next? And so having someone who has done it before, in these guys' case several times, started companies, it provides a great resource for them to find out what not to do, what to do, get some advice. And so these are very, very valuable. Of course, the biggest issue for almost any new business is, where am I going to get my money to do the work? And in that, it is helpful having the technology licensing offices in the same building as the new companies, because there's all sorts of funding. Now, this is just Florida-centric, what I'm talking about here, but every state has various programs that can be tapped into to help with economic development. In the University of Florida, we can spend up to about $30,000 on projects to help get something over the threshold, whether it be a prototype developed or the go-no-go experiment, just to get to the point where someone says, yeah, I need to license this. There's what's called Florida High Tech Corridor Matching Funds. These are funds that the state will put in, and it is a grant, to match money for research done at one of the state institutions. The University of Florida is one of those. That matches up to $250,000. It's a great way for companies, if they're doing some research at the university, to double their money, essentially, by getting tapped into these funds. And although these programs, they're none of them are secret, it's with anything else. It's just how do people know about them? How do they find out about them? And so, you know, a resource for this. SBIRs and STTRs, again, a great way to get free money, or at least money that doesn't have to be repaid. And it's becoming a more and more competitive process as everybody looks to see as funding from the federal institutes is flat or declining in real terms. More and more people are looking at this. It used to be that the success rate for SBIRs is much higher than with the competitive grant process. That's not necessarily the case now. We try to help some of these companies by providing services and workshops so they can be more competitive for this funding. I've got a slide here on this Florida Institute of Commercialization of Public Research. Again, this is a state matching program. It's not a grant, it's repayable at some point, or the state takes equity, but again, it's to try to get new companies over that hump. They need some initial early stage capital as a match to give more money to work for them, and so we are the conduit into that. And then, of course, generally for these early stage companies, venture companies, that venture capitalists are not going to invest, but there are local angel groups that certainly interested in investing in these companies, having an entree into those. One of the things that we tell new, so the Innovation Hub doesn't have just companies which started out of the university. It has local businesses. We've got a lot of kids, young people starting companies in software development, in developing mobile apps. but within the university, we have a lot of faculty say, you know what, I kind of like to be part of a startup company. And the first thing we say is, great. The second thing we say is, let's help you find someone to run the company. Because if it's going to be a real company rather than a lifestyle company, they're just going to, you know, have it ticking along, a little bit of cash coming back to them. They never want to grow this thing. If they ever want to grow it, they're going to need somebody who is professional, has done this before, who knows how to go out and raise money. And so one of the things we do is, and I haven't got it on this slide, but we are always looking for entrepreneurs to match up with those new businesses, those new scientists, to help them grow their company. And if they're going to be successful, they're going to need that help. But also, they're going to need cross-pollination. They're going to need to talk to other people in the building. And so we have weekly events to mix people together, force them together and talk to them. Or people come in and give presentations of interest to help these people help themselves and learn from others' mistakes and successes. So just a quick word about the Florida Institute. This has been, I think, so far a very successful project, and is probably not unique to Florida. But essentially, the tech transfer offices of the state went to the state government and said, if you want to help grow businesses in Florida, one of the things that's needed is additional money at an early stage to help get them over that hump so that they can raise money later from venture capitalists, banks, whatever. But that early stage money is really hard to come by. So if you got some matching funds to put in these companies, this is not charity. This is companies that have got credited investors, and the state will match some of that money. And now all the money that we got put into a pot in the last appropriation has gone, and so the state is now taking equity in these new companies. Now the money that is loaned to them is repayable upon liquidity, so it's nice that the bills aren't due immediately. It's only repayable when they're successful. Again, with the equity, that money is just sitting there until the company is successful and the state gets repaid. But this is a new program, and it is really helping these companies raise money, because the investors saying, okay, you know, I put a little bit of money in, we're coming more from the state, and that's really doubling the how that investment is working for these companies. And we've already seen that it has increased the match of money going into these companies, as well as the number of jobs coming out of it. So, Jeff, how much time do I have?
I was going to give everybody an half hour, so
25
plus
9. Oh, I was looking at 15. Okay, I'll
stand up at 25.
I'll start talking more slowly now then.
No, whatever. I'm into the discussion, too. So
yeah, yeah. Okay.
I'm interested in the case studies
and
how you're all looking at those.
So that's a kind of overview of the innovation hub. And so, you know, I think it's helpful to say, okay, so how does this work in practice, and talk about success? Now, I've got all kinds of train wrecks I can talk about, but it's nice to talk about one that really has worked out at well and use those services and programs to show how they can be leveraged. So Rapid Genomics is a company now, it's almost 2 years old, and it started, and it is exciting being on the ground floor of these things and seeing how they develop, this one in particular. So one of the scientists that I work with, he's in Forest Resources, came to me and said, you know, myself and my two students have been working on an idea to improve how we do genotyping by sequence alignment and comparison. And so we chatted for a while and said, well, you know, that sounds like a good idea. It's mostly a method, but it does sound like it's much better than what's out there already. So we went ahead and filed a patent application on this, essentially as a method to improve how you do reduced representation genome sequencing, and then do sequence alignment and calling of the different alleles. And they, at the same time, they said, well, and so the tenured faculty said, you know, I think this is something my students are really interested in being involved in a startup company around this. So great, you know, that's, yeah, let's talk about that and see how we can start this in orderly fashion. So the first thing they did is, well, actually, they incorporated the company, came up with a name. So Rapid is like that. It's almost like a pun. So the random amplified polymorphic DNA, which was one of the first ways of looking at variation in plants and animals, wasn't terribly successful for a variety of reasons. But this is a new take on that, and so they called it Rapid Genomics. Anyway, they incorporated a company name, and they leased just a small office in the Innovation Hub. And so they had access then to various entrepreneurs and so on to advise them and talk about setting up an operating agreement. And I'm a real believer in making sure that the operating agreement for these companies is has a professional set of eyes look at it. You can get an operating agreement downloaded off the web. But making it appropriate to the people who are going to be in the company, they put either sweat equity or money into the company, and then how the voting rights are going to be determined and decisions made can be tricky. And I've seen several examples where the operating agreement was done very quickly, and now people have to unravel a mess. And so they talk to an attorney about this, and they have an operating agreement that works. We then helped them find a CEO, and this is a kind of messy process. It's just like dating. I mean, it's the scientists and the CEO getting together and saying, you know, do we see eye to eye? Do we think we're going to work together? And there are a lot of people interested in this particular nascent company, and they had quite a few people come and talk to them. And a lot of them, you know, they just didn't think it was going to work out. They found someone in Jacksonville who knows nothing about DNA sequencing, still doesn't. But he ran a couple of software companies, and in large part, this is a data play. It's not about the molecular biology. It's how you deal with a large amount of data. And they really hit it off. These three guys are all from Brazil. John McGuire is the CEO. Really hit it off. He's a mover and shaker. And he doesn't know the science. They know the science, but he knows how to get deals done. And so he started with a company and negotiated a license agreement for the technology, because I don't think it's appropriate in most cases for the university tech transfer office to negotiate a license agreement to the scientist. It's like taking candy from a baby. You know, you want whoever the CEO is to be involved in that license negotiation. We are always finding we're always finding people who, with so many universities, alumni, that want to come back to the university and invest in the university in some way or another. And so we were introduced and had come visit the office, someone who's an orthopedic dentist, is working in Nashville, just retired, and decided he wanted to invest in companies. And so he came down and visited with us, and we pitched various ideas to him. He really liked this idea. He met with the company and decided to invest $300,000 into the company. That was a seed investor. They then took that seed money and they leveraged that to get matching funds from the Florida Institute to let them grow. And then they also got Florida High Tech money to do research, to do additional work to grow the business and do other methods and to try to apply this to other methods. So genotyping in maize can be tricky, and so they did a big project to allow them to show to a big ag bio that they can actually do very good genotyping and allele calling in maize, and so they use this Florida High Tech money to do that. They've talked to a number of venture capitalists. They don't need venture capital money right now, but it's kind of nice to kind of line it up and be on the radar for some of these companies in case in some point in the future they say we do need a bigger investment. And so they've been lining that up. I got these slides from John McGuire. You know, he talked about some of the advantages of working with the company, but they get discount pricing. Working with some of these service providers, they get discount pricing or deferred billing from the attorneys. Also from the university, I might add, on some of their patent costs. They do a lot of computing, and so by using the university's computing facilities as opposed to having to go out in the open market and use it, they save $170,000 annually on their computing charges. Now, at some point or another, they are going to graduate and they're going to have to go out into the open market. But in order to get them going, this has been great. And of course, they get some discounted pricing and so on through the university. It's been fun to watch this grow because this genotyping. I'm not going to go into the kind of later, but it applies to just about any species. And so although they are initially applying it to pine and poplar, you can apply it to any plant, any animal. And they've got projects now lined up. They're working with reptiles, they're working with parrots, they're working with fish, they're working with you name it. They've got all kinds of little projects going on at small companies and universities. The major play, though, is to work with some of the big companies. And so they actually are working with one of the big ag bios, who's given a big project, and actually Illumina. Illumina is a very good company, and they've got a project that they're doing with Illumina. They're going to have a strategic partnership with Illumina. But they've also been introduced to other faculty who are looking for their types of expertise to apply to a project, and they can be the SBIR recipient to help fund this research at the university, which works out well for the company, works out well for the university. So I wish this case were typical. It is not. But in the first 18 months, they've had total revenue of almost $3 million. I mean, it's impressive. They've got customers in over a dozen countries. They've got big strategic partners, which they're working with. And they've gone from zero to 12 full-time employees in 12 months. And at some point in the not-too-distant future, they're going to fledge, and they're going to move out to new facilities, which we will also help them find new facilities in the area that are suitable for them. But this to me is a perfect example of what happens if everything goes right and how these innovation centers can really help build businesses and for the local community. So anyway, that's a picture of the inside, the foyer in the hub, and we're trying to make today's ideas tomorrow's business. So thank you.
How do you access people, researchers on campus? Do you bring them in almost like on a per diem basis to, if they need to access that, some area of expertise? I mean, they're not located on your tech campus, on your biotech.
So
if you need to access some kind of expertise or resources on campus, the main campus, do you bring them in on a contract basis?
Jeff, what kind of expertise?
Well, I'm thinking if you needed help on the genomics side, you've got your incubator.
Oh, yep.
You know, if you needed access someone that had genomics experience on the main campus,
mm-hmm.
do you bring in those resources that you need? And
well, it kind of. Universities, I mean, it sounds crass, but universities spend other people's money. That's our business, is to bring in money and spend it on research. So you have, expertise like, certain, sequencing. The sequencing core, for instance, they will do services for for-profit companies. It's a different rate than internal. But it's just like any kind of grant funding. It's sponsored research. And so if they need to do a project with somebody who's got a certain amount of expertise, there is a research agreement associated with it. And they'll pay through the company to the lab, whatever is required for that expertise is one way of doing it.
Are patents shepherded through the Tech Transfer Office of Florida?
Yes, they are.
And who pays provincial patent costs?
So the university, University of Florida Research Foundation, invests in patents. And so we pay for the initial patent costs. When we license that technology out, and if we're licensing to a big company, there is an expectation that that company will pay not only our sunk patent costs, but any ongoing costs. When we license to a startup company, as a general rule, we will expect the same, that at some point in the future they will repay the sunk patent costs, but we give them time to do that, and we usually say you're not going to pay anything at first, but after a period of time it'll start paying a certain amount per month, per quarter, or it's tied to, which makes more sense, fund the events. You can't get blood out of the stone. So you say, okay, when you get funding or when you get some revenues, then you start paying patent costs back to the university.